Hi everyone, it's AK. I am back after a short hiatus. I didn't really have anything to say, and I didn't think you would appreciate me rambling about foolishness. So I do have stuff to say now, obviously. So I do want to let you know, if you have been listening to my podcast, I have officially finished my first course with my PhD program. I'm waiting for the professor to grade the last paper, and as of right now, I have an 89%, which is a B+, so I'm really hoping that I did well enough on that paper for him to, you know, maybe bump it up to an A-, depending on the point system. So my next class starts March 16th, I think, so I have a little bit of a break. And if you remember correctly, my PhD program is in public policy. So I've been really looking at a lot of different political things and different ideologies. So one thing that I've been studying, I know I need to study for, is the whole Trump MAGA thing. So from what I understand, I know it means make America great again, but from what I've understood, other presidents like Clinton and Reagan, and I think even Bush, probably HW too, that they've used that phrase before, but there hasn't, again, as far as I remember, there hasn't been any backlash like it has been with Trump. So if anybody can help me understand, what does that mean for Trump? Like, how is MAGA different for Trump era than it is Clinton, Bush, Reagan, or whoever? I don't understand. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's why I hope you guys, if you guys are Trump supporters, or not even a Trump supporter, just someone who has an analysis on that, that would be great for you to reach out to me, because my next class is going to talk about political ideologies in the United States right now, and also the Constitution. Let me see, I have the books. Basically the Constitution, conflicting ideologies, the Founding Fathers, that type of thing. So from what I see in the media with President Trump and Republicans in general, that I don't want to call it fake news, I don't want to be stereotypical, but the mainstream media, it seems to be really focused on the negativity from Republicans. Now, I remember correctly, back when Obama was president, those 8 years, the media focused on the good things that he did, and Fox News would focus on the bad things. So now it's kind of switched. Now we have a Republican president, and the mainstream media is focusing on everything he does wrong, and Fox News is highlighting the good parts. The part that's really messed up for me is that I have to really search and dig to find out good stuff that Trump has done. So for instance, him passing that Criminal Justice Reform Act, that actually freed a lot of people from prison, and apparently he's donated money to the HBCUs. So it's like different things like that. I kind of feel like even if you don't like or support the president, you should give credit where credit is due. So if he's done some really good things, you should talk about that as well as the really bad things. Like the whole impeachment hearing. We just kept hearing about everything he's done wrong, and the media makes it seem like, if you don't do research on your own and you just follow the media, it makes it seem like Trump is a horrible president and he hasn't done anything at all to benefit Americans whatsoever. So I think that that's something that more people should really look into. And again, you can look into this stuff and think, okay, yeah, he did this, but I still don't care. I still don't like him. But you do have to acknowledge that he has done something. He has done some things that benefit Americans. And one of the things I was thinking about with the MAGA thing, I watched it wasn't a podcast. It was a video of, I don't know if you guys heard of Candace Owens. She's a young Black Republican, and it was her on a panel with, I know rapper T.I. was on the panel. They were kind of going back and forth, and I don't know what the event was. It was like at a concert. I'm not really sure the crowd or whatever. But one thing that he asked her about was, what does Make America Great mean? How far do we go back? And he said, when was America ever great for Black people? Does Trump want to go back to slavery? Does he want to go back to Jim Crow? Does he want to go back to the struggle with the Civil Rights Acts? Does he want to address mass incarceration? And I thought that that was a really good question for him. And I was kind of, you know, doing some research, and I didn't find anywhere where Trump actually defined what MAGA meant to him as president. And I think, unless I just can't find it, you guys let me know if you found it, but I think him not explicitly defining that is what allowed the media to just take it and run with it as being racist. So I did some research for my last paper. It was talking about moving forward. So the different policies that I learned throughout the whole 8 weeks of class, the paper was talking about, okay, now that you've learned all this stuff, how do you think we can move forward? So one thing that I did a mini analysis on was the MAGA thing. So I basically said, from my, you know, research and coming with my own opinion or whatever about it, that I thought that Trump meant taking America back to where we were self-sufficient. You know, we were number one in things. We had things made in America. We had jobs here. There were people who wanted what we had. So I'm not sure. Again, I don't think he's ever said per se. I know he has talked about bringing jobs back and things like that. But for me, that's kind of what I feel like he means. And if that is what he means, I feel like he did himself an injustice by not acknowledging that. Because most Americans would agree, yes, we want to bring jobs back. We want to build our country back up. We want to be like we were, you know, during the Cold War, the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, when, you know, being American, it was like, wow, you know, we set the tone for the world. You know, all our stuff is made here, that type of thing. And then the solidarity, the unity that we had, even though there was segregation and other negative things in the country, there was still like unity in being American. So I think that's what Trump means. Again, I'm not sure. So if anyone knows, enlighten me, that'd be great. And also in my paper, I talked about that. I talked about how one of the problems that we have as a society in 2020 is that as Americans, we're not unified. There isn't, for me, when I think about what makes us Americans, what's something that can unify us together, I really don't have a straight answer. Because for instance, being American is unique. Because American is not a race or an ethnicity. Like when you think of China, most of the people are Han Chinese. If you think of Sweden, most of the people are native Swedes. When you think of the United States of America, there is nothing that you can think of. So it's like we're all different, but we're all together. So I kind of felt like, what's unifying us? And I feel like we're so divided that it's ridiculous. I said in my paper how, you know, people are so focused on these hyphenated labels. You know, African American, Muslim American, Jewish American, Christian American, Irishman, all these hyphenated labels. But at the end of the day, we're Americans. And I just kind of felt like, so if our identity as Americans isn't unifying us together, what will? And I talked about in my paper, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, I promise. It's like 15 pages. But I talked about in my paper also how I remember 9/11. I remember when that happened, and I remember what unified us as Americans was patriotism. I remember different colors, races, religions. I remember everybody standing in solidarity, waving those American flags, singing the Star Spangled Banner, proud to be an American. And proud to, we want to defend our country. We want to find out who did this to us. We need to stand together as Americans. And I feel like, you know, of course that kind of wore off, but I also feel like, is it going to take attacks like negative circumstances on the country to get us united? And if it is, that's crazy. Like, we need to stop it. So I don't know. Again, if somebody else has an opinion on this, that'd be great to let me know. I haven't gotten my paper graded yet. So my professor will, I guess, let me know what he thinks about my analyses over the different topics that he gave us. But that was something that really made me think. The whole paper, like this whole class, has really made me think about everything more than I already do. But it really made me think about what it means to be an American. How is that unified? Because I know, you know, what it means to me, what it means to other people, but collectively, like if somebody from a foreign country were to ask me, you know, hey, AK, you're an American. What does that mean? What does it mean to be an American? What's something that unifies you guys as Americans? And I couldn't give a straight answer. Other cultures, what unifies them together is, you know, their ethnicity, their race, their religion, their culture. But America's unique because we're all different. So I don't know. I kind of feel like my answer before could have been something like, you know, patriotism, freedom. Not that Americans don't value that, but I feel like it's not something as important. I feel like society has become extremely politically correct, and it's annoying. It's like you have to say things that don't hurt people's feelings. You have to sugarcoat stuff. You have to use euphemisms. Like, for instance, when I had a job, I'm unemployed, been unemployed for almost 3 months. Those of you who've been listening, I quit my job to work on my PhD. Anyway, when I did have a job and I talked to some of my teachers, my fellow coworkers, about things that I would say in class, and I talked about illegal immigrants, or maybe I said illegal aliens, whatever I said, and they stopped me mid-sentence and they said, "You can't say that." And I said, "Excuse me?" And I said, I can't call it like it is. And they said, "No, you have to say undocumented." I forgot the second word. It wasn't immigrant, whatever it was. And I'm like, "Why do I have to say that?" And they're like, "Well, you know, because it's politically correct and you don't want to offend people." And I said, "I don't care about offending people. I care about the truth," which is why I think I talked on the podcast about my truth being somewhat offensive if you didn't know me as a teacher or as a person, where I talked about the illegal immigrants from Mexico being border hopping grape farmers. I apologize. I don't know what episode that was on, but you should listen to it. It's the whole story. Basically, I'm as like unpolitically correct as they come. And so someone telling me that I have to, and I didn't think that was offensive. I did not think saying illegal immigrant was offensive. And I know the argument against that is that people can't be illegal, which I understand. There's kind of like illegitimate child. People can't be illegitimate. I understand that. But I also feel like, I mean, it defines it, because we know what immigration is. You come from another country to another country. You move. The illegal part is you're doing it illegally. So when I'm saying illegal immigration, I'm not talking about the people themselves. I'm talking about their action. So again, I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to say that, but I said it anyway. So another thing that I talked about in this paper, I hope that I do really well in this paper, because I think it's a good paper, and it's a lot of stuff that really made me think. Like, I think all the time, but it just really, you know, the stuff I learned in this class, I didn't really know too much about, as sad as that is. But, you know, when you get to be a certain point in your life, and there's things that didn't directly affect you, you know, you don't really, not that you don't care, it doesn't interest you as much. Like, I had some students that, I think I talked about this in another podcast as well, but she talked about how she was tired of hearing about 9/11. And of course, the entire class like gasped and like looked at her with these big eyes. And she's like, "No," I said, "I know exactly what she's saying." And I said, "Is it okay if I say it for you?" And she's like, "Yes, please. I don't want them to think I hate America." And I told him, I said, "What she's saying is September 11, 2001 was before she was born." And I said, "People like me, who we were alive during these attacks, it means something to us because we were alive. We witnessed it. It was a part of, you know, us being an American. And they were like, okay. And I said, for instance, it would be like me talking about December 7th, 1941. And they kind of looked at me, I'm like, what, which is, you know, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. I said, so if I talk to a person like, you know, my grandmother or someone who was alive during that time period and remembered it happening, they would feel a different way about it than I would. And of course, they were like, oh, okay, that makes sense now. And I said, I knew exactly what she said when she meant it, but I wanted to clarify it for her because I wanted to explain what she meant. And then, of course, I got to talk about how I was destined to be a history teacher because my birthday is December 7th, and I was actually born a week early. So I'm not 1941, obviously, but that's my birthday. So it was just kind of things like that. And I understood exactly what she meant, and I, you know, I understood. But she did acknowledge how, you know, well, she wasn't born yet, but she acknowledged how her family would tell her about, you know, people signing up to join the military to defend our country and, you know, patriotism and all these values people really cared about. And she said that some of her family members, you know, joined for the military for that reason. And I was like, you know, that's really great. That's great to be, you know, patriotic. And in my paper, I also talked about that too. I talked about, you know, when I was younger, patriotism and the idea of freedom and liberty, that seemed to be something that was really on the forefront of American society. Now, I grew up in an army family, so I might be a little bit biased because I had more of that patriotism in my family with my father being in the military. So maybe it's, but no, I don't think it's that, because I remember just being out in public and just seeing people proud to be Americans. And today I'm just like, people are saying, I've been watching different like YouTube videos about different political ideologies and worldviews. And a lot of the people were saying that they were embarrassed to be American and they hated this country. And I was just scratching my head, like, how can you hate your home? And in some of the interviews, the interviewers asked them, well, if you hate this country, where's somewhere else you'd want to go? You know, if you could pack up and leave, where would you want to go? And they'd say stuff like, oh, well, I don't want to leave this country. And they're like, well, how can you hate it and not want to leave it? And of course, they're stumbling over answers because that makes no sense. And there were some people in the videos that were immigrants, and some of them came from Russia, Venezuela. I'm trying to think, some other countries where socialism, you know, communism is their form of government. So of course they were like, I love this country. I came here on purpose to escape, you know, the oppression of my country's government and their regime. And they're like, so yeah, I'm not American born, but I love this country. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So it's like the people who weren't native born Americans appreciated the country more than those who were born and raised here. And I feel like Americans are really spoiled because other countries don't have as much freedom as we do, which is why people want to come here. I mean, just the fact that you can stand there on camera, give an interview and say you hate this country and nothing will happen to you, that's freedom right there. Other places, you might not necessarily be able to do that without some type of punishment for your actions. Like, for instance, when I was teaching high school, I was teaching high school at a different school, and the kids were complaining about their hair color. They said that somebody told them about, they were playing a sport or something they were trying to do extracurricular that was school related, and they said if they didn't dye their hair to a natural color, they couldn't be a part of the team. And they were like, it's not fair. It's my hair. I want to express myself and da da da. And first of all, their hair was like snot green. It was disgusting. It was an ugly color. But I told them, I said, you know, here in the United States, you having the freedom to have your hair that color is something that other places don't. And of course, these 15-year-old kids look at me like I'm crazy. And they're like, huh? I said, other places, you can't do things like that. And I said, so the fact that you're allowed to dye your hair snotty green is a freedom that you don't even realize you have. So, and I gave them the example of North Korea. For instance, North Korea, they have a booklet I'm trying to remember. I mean, it's been some time since I've looked at this. I looked at it, you know, this was years ago. But North Korea has a booklet and it has, I think, like 28 or 30 approved hairstyles for men and women. Like, literally, they tell you how you can cut and style your hair. And I told the kid, I said, so the fact that you can dye your hair a different color, that's a freedom that people in North Korea don't have. And they were like, wow, I had no idea. And I'm like, I feel like Americans are very spoiled because we like to complain about things that we don't like about this country, but we've never been anywhere else. You know, like some people have never left the country and they talk about how they hate the country. We've never been anywhere else. And we've never been anywhere to see the oppression or things that, well, I guess they might not necessarily feel they're oppressed, but we would because we're Americans and we're, you know, have the freedoms to do things. And people don't think about that. And so when I was watching those videos, I'm just shaking my head at these people like, are you kidding me? Now, I've been out of the country. I lived in Germany and I've been all over the world. But me going out of the country, it was for, well, it was military for Germany. The other place, it was, you know, cruises and trips and stuff like that. But I did see some things and I had some cultural, you know, some people explain to me, well, you know, they're not allowed to wear pants because she's a woman. I'm like, what? Just stuff like that. So being a woman, being a girl and wearing pants, that was a freedom that certain people didn't have. So I feel like as Americans, we take so much stuff for granted. And it just breaks my heart to see and hear people say they hate this country when, first of all, they know nothing different. This is their home. And second of all, I just, how can you hate who you are? I mean, you're an American. I just don't. And these videos were just killing me, though. I'm just watching these videos. And they would interview kids on college campuses. They would interview, you know, older baby boomers. They do, you know, Gen Zers, millennials, Gen Xers, you know, so it wasn't just a certain demographic of people. It was everybody. And even these older baby boomers were saying, some of them were saying how they were embarrassed to be an American. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I don't know. It just really bothered me. And then of course, another thing that bothered me was they would ask different questions that were from the citizenship test, you know, to be an American citizen, and just different facts that every American should know. I mean, I don't know if these videos were set up or what, because it was basic stuff like who's the first president? And people couldn't answer that. People couldn't answer why we celebrated the 4th of July. They didn't know the significance of the year 1776. They didn't know who the current president was or the current vice president. Or they couldn't name a senator in Congress. They couldn't name how many members are in Congress, which most people don't know that per se. It's 535, by the way. 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate. Each state gets 2. House is based on population. Anyway, so people couldn't answer these basic questions that, I mean, you've learned in school. Part of the thing is school kind of sucks in the sense of they don't really pound into you the American values like they did when my mom was growing up. For instance, my mom, in order to pass the 8th grade, they had to memorize parts of the Constitution and recite them or have a test over them or some type of thing. And I think for high school, it was the Declaration of Independence. Maybe I have it flipped. I don't know. I don't remember. But she told me that that was something that they had to do in school. They wanted them to know about their country and the freedoms they had. And it's like people nowadays, they just take it for granted. They don't know anything about the Constitution. They can't tell you what the Bill of Rights are. They can't tell you. And that was the thing too. They asked people what the First Amendment was. And people were saying stuff like, well, I've heard of it before, but I don't know what it is. And it just, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if these videos are set up or not. But I mean, because if they're not, this is just ridiculous. And it's like, but I guess at the same time, it probably affects me more because I'm a history teacher, you know, government, social study, you know, all the history stuff by trade. So stuff like that affects me more because like, that's what I teach. That's what I live for, you know, that type of thing. And the citizenship test, I took a practice one. It was 100 questions. I think the real test they pick 10 of the questions out of the 100. So anyway, so it was 100 questions and I got 2 of them wrong and it was dumb mistakes. Like, one of them, I forgot. What was it about? It was like, I don't remember what they were about, but the two I got wrong, I knew the answer. I just made dumb mistakes. And so it's like, the questions they were asking, you know, they were asking, how old do you have to be to run for president? You know, just simple things that, I mean, Americans should know. But if you haven't had social studies, you know, any type of government or history since high school or middle school, and you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, of course you're not going to know. And I feel like part of the issue is the lack of emphasis on knowing about your country. And it's kind of sad when you have people from other countries know more about the country than you do. Some of the kids I had were immigrants from other countries. And when I would ask questions, these kids would know the answers. And the native-born American students were like, how do you know these answers? And they said, how do you not? This is your country. How do you not know the answers about questions with your own country? And they were just kind of dumbfounded, you know? But another thing I said in my paper, going back to this, I talked about how a lot of students, again, I had were immigrants from other countries. And I talked about, there was an instance I had, it was a student, his family was from Honduras. And he would talk to me, and he would kind of do Spanglish. And then when I asked him stuff, he could communicate and kind of answer stuff. But I realized when he needed to ask me stuff, he didn't necessarily have all the words. So he would, you know, show me on Google Translate. And if I responded back in English, he could understand it. If I responded back in Spanish, you know, or use Google Translate, we communicated very well. And I told him, and I said, you speak really good English. I said, how long have you guys, you know, been in the United States? He told me, he said, a few months. I'm like, what? What? He literally immigrated right before school started. And I said, you've been here for a few months and you know that much English? And he told me, he said, I taught myself English. I have been preparing, you know, and learning English because I knew my family was going to come here and I wanted to speak the language. And I was like, wow, that's deep. And he said, you know, when I got here, you know, some of my other families here, they were here before us, you know, different Hispanics in different communities. They told me, you know, basically like, why are you wasting your time learning English? You don't have to, because everything's in Spanish too. And he said, I was so confused. Like, why would America have stuff in Spanish? And I started laughing and I said, right? And I told him, you know, it's the second most spoken language in the country. And he said, I don't understand that. Of course, I had explained that there wasn't a national language. You know, we don't have a universal language. It wasn't in the Constitution. And he said, but my thing is, the land is a land of immigrants, right? And he says, so people have been coming here for hundreds of years from all over the world. I said, right? And he said, did those people not learn English? And he said, so, I mean, are there other languages that are prominent that you see out in the country all over the place? And he said, what makes Spanish so special? And he was just kind of like, you know, it's offensive to immigrants who came here from other countries who, you know, learn English to assimilate in society. We didn't say assimilate, that's my word. In society, and now you have people that don't even need to speak English if they speak Spanish. And I was like, you're young and you can have that analysis. That's great, because he was like 15. But he was just so flabbergasted. He just couldn't believe that. He couldn't believe that if you spoke Spanish, you didn't really have to learn English because everything is bilingual. You know, press one for English, press two for Spanish. You know, and Spanish and English is everywhere. Like the translations on the back of, like, right now I'm looking at a milk carton, my almond milk carton, and it's in Spanish and English. So he said, well, I don't care that Spanish is available. He said, I want to embrace being an American now that I'm here. I want to continue to learn English and speak, you know, speak it well. Because I asked at one point, I said, do you need me to speak Spanish to you? Or do you want me to Google Translate? He said, no. He said, speak English. I want to learn English. I want to get better at English. I said, okay. He's like, if I need help, or, you know, we'll figure it out. But I really want you to communicate with me in English. I said, good, because my Spanish skills are kind of rusty anyway. But, and I was just, you know, I wonder how he's doing, because I quit in December, the end of the semester, so he's still there. But I wonder how he's doing, because I was just so proud of him as a 15-year-old kid, and he just felt some type of way that adults don't feel. But he was just kind of like, I can't believe people aren't learning English. And he's like, I practiced, like, I taught myself English. He said, I taught my family English, you know. We really prepared to come here because we knew Americans speak English. And so I'm like, I have to applaud you, kid. Like, you're awesome, and so is your family. I was like, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Don't let people tell you, oh, you're Hispanic, you don't have to speak English, you can speak Spanish. And he's like, well, duh, I can speak Spanish, but English is the language of this land that I want to know. I want to learn this language. And I kind of feel like he was right about the assimilation thing, because, you know, back in the day, people that came over here, they Americanized themselves, they assimilated, you know, changed their names. If they had a really long, like, Eastern European last name, they changed it, shortened it. They assimilated into American society. Some of them, you know, no longer spoke their native language. Some of them embraced English and their native language, which was fine. And that type of thing. So it's like, even though we were all different, we were all Americans. Like, for instance, in my paper, I talked about how America used to be seen as a melting pot of cultures. Everybody was different, but we came together, we blended together, and we were American. And I said, now America's more like a salad bowl, where we're just all kind of here chilling, and we don't have anything tying us together. You know, people are refusing to speak English. They're refusing to assimilate. And assimilating into American culture does not mean giving up your identity. And I know a lot of people did that when they immigrated here. They quit speaking Chinese. They changed their names. You know, don't speak Chinese. We're supposed to speak English. We're American now. So some people really did give up their identity. And that kind of sucks. But I understood why they did it, to assimilate into American society. But now we have so many immigrants coming in. I feel like now you shouldn't have to give up your identity from your home country, but you're also now American, so you need to embrace the American culture and American identity. That's how I feel. And I feel like you could do both. It's possible. I see it. You know, I see people. There's some kids I had that were from Nigeria and Somalia, and they spoke, the person from Nigeria spoke Yoruba, I think. And then the person from Swahili, or from Somalia, spoke, she actually spoke Swahili, Amharic, Arabic. I mean, she spoke a bunch of languages. So it's like they were assimilated into American society, you know, as in, like, they spoke English, you know, kind of just followed our customs. I don't even know how to explain that. But they also were fluent in their native languages. Like, they didn't leave behind their heritage of being Somalian or Nigerian, but they also didn't refuse to embrace Americanism. Now, sometimes when that happens, that's the parents. The parents don't want them to become Americanized. They don't want them to become influenced by the West and forget their identity, forget their culture. So sometimes the kids don't have a choice. But I kind of felt like with the whole salad bowl thing, it just bothers me. And I'm still kind of thinking, kind of, I guess, out loud at this point, of how do we fix this? I mean, I really don't know how do we fix this. As Americans, we are so divided, it's ridiculous. When it comes to culture, language, you know, religion, politics, everything is so divided. And it's like, you know, 30 years ago, I would never think, well, I mean, there wasn't social media 30 years ago, but I would never think that I would see people on YouTube videos saying that they hated America and saying F Trump, F the president, F the government. I never thought I would have seen that. And just like within the last 20 years or so, it's just really, really changed. And I really don't know why. In my paper, I was saying, you know, all these things are happening. I don't know why. When in the paper, I had to talk about moving forward. I was like, I don't know how to move forward. I can tell you what I've observed, but I can't tell you how to move forward. How do we move forward as Americans? I mean, I really don't know. And I wish I had an answer, because then I could somehow, I mean, I'm only one person in a country of 330 million. But if I had, you know, some type of answer, something I was confident about, maybe I could, you know, make some type of change. I'm getting into the political field with running for school board. I need to fill out that paperwork. But I mean, that's just school board, but it's an election. It's political. You know, it shouldn't be. So my name would be out there. So maybe I could, you know, run for to be a representative for the Congress, or I could be, you know, the Indiana State Congress or something like that, and I could maybe affect policies and change and make a difference, and that would be great, but I don't really have an answer, and I don't know if anybody has an answer. So when I hear Trump talking about make America great, and Trump supporters and all that, and even non-Trump supporters, and even non-Republicans, and that's the thing too about being so divided, that this rhetoric, it's dividing stuff that we all want. Like, from what I understand, talking to Trump supporters, make America great, you know, MAGA, all that kind of stuff. And I've talked to Democrats, you know, liberals, I've talked to both of these kind of people about the same stuff, and they give me the same answers. And they don't realize how similar they are. And it's just crazy, because we need to have that dialogue with one another. I mean, when I talked to the Trump supporters, they talked about, you know, the building the wall, or not necessarily building a wall, but just addressing the illegal immigration issue, you know, getting rid of big government, you know, kind of get the government out of our business. It's getting too big, too much money's being spent, you know, cut down on all this spending, and emphasize personal responsibility, you know, owning businesses and that type of thing, leave the Second Amendment alone, leave all the amendments alone, just leave me alone, basically, type of thing, you know, cut down on taxes, just all these, you know, kind of fiscally conservative policies. And when I would talk to the liberal Democrats, I don't want to say Bernie supporters, because they didn't really feel the same, but non-Bernie supporters that were still liberal, they kind of said the same thing. And sometimes I would have to, like, kind of pull it out of them. I'm like, well, how do you feel about illegal immigration? And they would say something like, these are all kids, by the way, because, again, I taught history, so these are all kids I'm talking to. And they would say stuff like, well, I think it's a problem, and I think that we should do something about it. I think that we should stop it, or, you know, da-da-da. I'd say, like, building a wall? And they're like, don't say that. I'm like, I mean, that's kind of, you know, what you're going with. I said, so you're acknowledging that you think it's a problem and you want to stop it. And they're like, well, I guess that's what it means. So I kind of feel like if they just had the dialogue and connected with each other, and it's like, we want the same thing. Well, I don't say we, I don't want to be generalized. As Americans, for the most part, we seem to want the same thing. The life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, right to property, just those basic American values, but there's different ways of going about them. And I feel like the further divided we are, we're never going to get it back together to work together to guarantee that we have those freedoms and those rights. So I don't know. Again, if there's any ideas out there, I mean, because my next class, I have to write, of course, a whole bunch of papers. If you don't know, a PhD program is basically research, because you're going to write a book, a dissertation. So my class coming up, I've got to write 8 papers. The last one is going to be 20 pages. And then the other ones are going to be 6. Let's see, I think there's 6 pages, 10. It's going to be a lot of pages, basically. And I know, I kind of know, like, what the class is going to be about, which is why I'm making this podcast, getting my ideas and my thoughts and my questions out there, because this is the kind of stuff that I'm going to be talking about in the class. So because I know what's going to be in there, I kind of want to get a jump start on, I guess, knowing what to say, or, you know, what to think, what to do, which at this point, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I wish I could just come up with a solution, like, this is what we do, this is how we do it. But I mean, again, we're so divided. There's so many of us, first of all. And I mean, I feel like, you know, we should embrace everyone collectively as Americans. You know, it shouldn't be where are you from, go back to where you came from, you have an accent, why are you foreigner, like all that kind of stuff. I don't think that we should do that. That's not okay. But I think at the end of the day that we're all Americans. It doesn't matter what color we are, you know, what religion we are, what languages we speak, we're all American. And I feel like that should be what unites us first and foremost, which is why I'm starting to have a problem with the hyphenated American thing. You know, it's like African American, Irish American, Muslim American, Christian American, Jewish, all these hyphenated, and I understand why they exist. I understand because you want to acknowledge who you are. Now, African American, that's a whole different situation, because African American, I mean, nobody says European American, but I know African American is because, you know, they can't really trace back their ancestry, which I get it, you know, okay. But I feel like focusing on these labels, you know, rather than being American first, it just further drives us apart. I mean, that's not to say you shouldn't be a Jew, shouldn't be a Muslim, shouldn't be a Christian or Irish or whatever. You should be who you are. But I feel like along with focusing on that, you should care more about being an American, because part of what makes us all Americans is that we are unique, that we are different religions, colors, races, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. And I know that another thing is back to the politically correct thing, how, you know, xenophobia and racism, oppression, religion, oppression of religion, all that kind of stuff, it's always existed. All the negative ills in society that are in 2020, they've existed since the beginning of time. The issue now is that with social media and technology, now we have a visual of what's happening. So it's like none of these issues are new. They've been around again since the beginning of time, the beginning of the country. So I feel like that's also something, social media also further drives us apart as I'm utilizing social media to do this podcast. But beside the point, then that's something that draws us apart. And I feel like whenever I hate watching the news, I hate it, because whenever I turn on the news, doesn't matter if it's Fox, MSNBC, whatever news channel it is, it's always something about division. It's nothing about, you know, Americans coming together or supporting. It's always about division. And if that's what we hear all the time, it's not surprising that we're not going to embrace each other as fellow Americans. We're going to look at each other as the other. And it's not even just at this point, it's not even just race, you know, like the visible. It's like, you know, like, oh, you're brown and you're white, you're black, you're yellow or whatever. Now it's more language, name, religion. You know, it's, oh, I'm not going to talk to you. Or politics, I'm not going to talk to you because you're a Republican. I can't talk to Republicans. Or I'm not going to talk to you because you're a Democrat. I can't talk to... Really? That doesn't make any sense. Like, again, we're all Americans. And not only that, but if you don't talk to each other, how do you figure out how to unite as Americans? One thing I ended up getting stuck on with my research, I'm going to talk about this in my next paper, well, my next class. But I started looking at different celebrations. With the immigration, it obviously brings different cultures to our society, which is fine. It's perfectly fine. Well, with these different cultures are different holidays, again, which is fine. But I was looking at American holidays and how some people don't celebrate them. And I ended up on the topic of minorities, mainly Black Americans, not celebrating the 4th of July. And I thought I really had to think long and hard about that. I totally understand why. Because in 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was signed, Blacks were still slaves. But literally the document applied to rich white men, women and children, you know, it only applied to rich white men anyway. But I do understand the, you know, the conflict with that. And it's like, if you're Black and you celebrate Independence Day, you're a coon, you're an Uncle Tom, you're a race traitor, you hate yourself, that type of thing. And I kind of feel like that's not fair for people not to be able to celebrate something about their own country. I mean, even Martin Luther King Jr., talked about the Declaration of Independence in his speech. In his speeches, he talked about how, yeah, the Declaration, it didn't free slaves or whatever, but it was to set the precedent of all Americans to come. And I thought about it, I said, you know, if you read the Declaration of Independence without any background knowledge of American history, you're not going to read it as a racist document or as, oh my gosh, why isn't everybody free? You're not going to read it like that. You're literally going to read it as a group of people who were upset about what the King of England was doing to them. And I know that there's some people who feel some type of way about immigrants. There's some immigrants that celebrate Independence Day. And like, well, you're not even American. You know, you don't know, da da da. And I'm like, for them, if they've immigrated here, they're celebrating Independence Day basically for themselves and the fact that they were able to come here. And I feel like with immigrants, their minds get tainted because they're not thinking that, because they might not necessarily know the racial and political history of our country. So they come here with a different mindset. And then you have people that are shaming them for wanting to celebrate American holidays. And I have personally seen that. And I can't believe it. So of course the immigrant feels some type of way. They feel now they're embarrassed to celebrate American holidays, to be an American. You know, they're embarrassed now because, oh, I'm not from here. I wasn't, you know, my people wouldn't have been freed or whatever. I think that's stupid. One thing also with the Declaration of Independence, I talked about this in my paper. When Thomas Jefferson wrote it, one of the things that he did put in there was basically calling out the king about allowing the slave trade. Kind of ironic, you know, everybody had slaves. Thomas Jefferson had a bunch of slaves, whatever. But he did have that in the Declaration as a list of grievances against the king. And of course, what happened was the Southerners, the slave-owning Southerners, were like, nah, bro, we got to get rid of this, because if we don't, we're not going to have the support of the Southern colonies. We're not going to have their support. So sorry, Jefferson, you tried, but we got to take it out. So then also another thing is that the Constitution, the law of the land, does not mention slavery at all. And when I was researching about it, it was basically kind of saying like the founding fathers did that on purpose, because while slavery existed, a lot of them thought it was fundamentally immoral. So if they put it in founding documents, it would be acknowledging this institution that was kind of controversial anyway. So it's problematic to leave it out, but it would also be problematic to put it in. So it's kind of like, again, if you're not American, if you're an immigrant, you know nothing about American history, and you read the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, you're not going to read it from a racial standpoint because you don't know about that. You don't know this history. So I feel like with, you know, blacks, minorities, immigrants celebrating Independence Day, I kind of feel like I get it. I totally get it. You know, the people weren't free. You know, you weren't a rich white man, you know, landowning white man, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's 2020. We're all Americans. And I feel like you can acknowledge the fact that your people weren't free. That's fine, but you shouldn't hold that against America today. Every society in the history of the world has had slavery. Every single society. Some people, the slaves are free, some they're not. I mean, you know, you have sex trafficking going on now, child trafficking. You know, some people, they might still have chattel slavery. I don't know, but it's like, why is America like the dark spot when it comes to chattel slavery? Most of the slaves that came from Africa went to Brazil and the Caribbean. So I kind of feel like it's offensive to see people get shamed or mistreated or name called to want to celebrate independence. Because I've asked people, you know, hey, you're not a white man or whatever. When you celebrate Independence Day, what does that mean to you? A lot of people say, oh, it's just a day off work, you know, have barbecue, see fireworks, you know, hang out with my family. They don't have like a philosophical, like, you know, reason behind it. You know, oh, 1776 and freedom, and they don't have that kind of philosophy. But there are some people that do. And there's some black people, they're like, you know, I understand my people weren't free, but at the same time, you know, we're free now. Does the United States have racial issues and discrimination? Of course it does, and it probably always will. But we're actually free. We're people now. We're not property. The 13th Amendment, you know, ended slavery. 14th made us people, you know, citizens. So it's like celebrating independence. It's in a way, it's independence, you know, for me. Because they say, you know, say like, because the country was independent and then I became independent, or my ancestors became independent. And they're like, so in essence, I could celebrate Independence Day because my people did end up becoming independent, becoming free from slavery. And I'm like, and when I see like black people with like American flag shirts on and they get looked at sideways, like, oh, you're black, you shouldn't be celebrating that. And it's like, well, why not? And everyone wants to bring up the whole racial issue in the past. And I'm like, so if we're supposed to focus on the past, are we going to address the issues that basically every other culture that came here had, and not just focus on African American chattel slavery? What about the Chinese Exclusion Act? Literally, Chinese people were banned for coming into the country. They were banned from it. Like, literally, the act, I think, was how many years total? Like 20 or 30 years? I think the first one was like 1880 or 17 something, but they were banned from coming to this country. Japanese people were in internment camps during World War II. I mean, are we going to address these issues? You want to go back to something that's 1776? What about 1800, 1900? You know, and it's just kind of like, I don't know if it's like a competition of who had it worse. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know, but I feel like it's not fair because at the end of the day, we're all Americans. And I feel like if you don't celebrate Independence Day, that's totally fine. That is your right as a free American. But I feel like you shouldn't shame other people, no matter what color they are, where they're from or whatever, for wanting to celebrate that. Because it's like, at the same time, that's another instance that's dividing us. Like, we're not even united as patriotic Americans. So it's like, I understand wanting to acknowledge the injustices in the past, but at the same time, we're hundreds of years past that. Of course, that's a dark spot in history. It'll never go away. But if we keep focusing on these dark spots in history, how do we successfully move forward? And we can't. It's not possible. And so I feel like, you know, I see that more and more, you know, Black people shouldn't celebrate Independence Day. They shouldn't celebrate Memorial Day, even though Memorial Day was, it was Africans that created that, the African slaves. That holiday was originally Memorial Day. So, and I just feel like, and then you saying that, especially to young kids, you know, these Gen Zers who have, you know, no idea about anything because they're, you know, young. And it's like, you put that in their brain and they grow up thinking, you know, well, I'm Black, I'm Hispanic, I'm an immigrant, I shouldn't celebrate this because, you know, I'm not white, I'm not a white man or whatever. And that's just, it's a disservice to them. And it's kind of like we're teaching kids to be unpatriotic by doing that. I understand telling your kids the history, but don't focus on the history because they're going to grow up thinking, I'm a Black American, I'm a Hispanic American, I'm an immigrant. I can't celebrate this stuff because it didn't apply to my people 250 years ago. Like, that's just totally not fair to those kids. And, you know, me teaching young kids, I had that happen. I did have that happen. My mama said that I can't celebrate the 4th of July because I'm Black. I'm like, well, what does that have to do with anything? And they said that, you know, my people were slaves and da-da-da. And I'm like, are you a slave now? Are your people slaves now? Do you know anybody that was a slave? And they're like, no, well, my mom said I still shouldn't do it. We're not allowed to. And I'm like, really? This is just, it's ridiculous. But again, I totally understand all of these, like, both sides. I get it. Totally get it from both sides. But I feel like as Americans, if we can't even have our national holidays unify us, like, come on now, guys. Like, I don't know. Oh, and one thing that I've been seeing, which, you know, I know about June 19th, 1865. I think it's 1865. That was when the slaves in Galveston, Texas, first found out that they were free, because, you know, there wasn't email, there wasn't like mail back then. So it took a couple years. The Emancipation Proclamation, if you don't know, it did not free all of the slaves. It only freed the slaves in the states of rebellion, which were the Confederate states. Texas was part of the Confederacy. So they were freed, but because of, you know, the way travel is set up, they didn't know until over two years later, they didn't know that they were free. So when they found out, of course, they're excited, they're celebrating. And one of the things I've been seeing is that Black people feel like we should celebrate, you know, like, we should celebrate Juneteenth because the, you know, slaves were free. I understand the thought process. You know, Black people are saying to celebrate June 19th, it's called Juneteenth, as our Independence Day because that's when the slaves in Texas found out they were free. But I kind of compare it to Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo only applies to a village. I think it's Puebla, some place in Mexico. They celebrate that as defeat over the French. So it's not important to all Mexicans. It's only important to the people that are from that village, from that area. So I kind of feel like celebrating Juneteenth should only be important to the African, you know, the Americans, African Americans in Texas, that would be something I feel like, not even just, I mean, I guess even the city, Galveston, or you could just say Texas as a whole, that would be something that would be celebratory for them. Instead of, and I've actually had to, you know, being a history teacher, I know all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, I talk to people, I'm like, well, why do you want to celebrate Juneteenth? And they're like, well, Independence Day wasn't for us, you know, for my people, for blacks, whatever, which is fine. And I said, okay, so what's important about Juneteenth? And they're like, oh, that was the day that slaves were freed. No. And of course I hit them with the facts and they're like, well, what? And I'm like, no, that was just the, I said, that was literally the slaves in Texas finding out they were free 2 years after Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. I said, Juneteenth has nothing to do with you unless you can trace back your history to Texas. And so I said, if you really want to celebrate the end of slavery, December 6th, 1865 was when the 13th Amendment was ratified. So if you want to do that, you can celebrate December 6th. Of course, they look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, look it up. I'm like, Juneteenth has nothing to do with you unless you can trace back your African-American, you know, slave ancestry back to Texas. And I compare it to Cinco de Mayo because nobody cares about Cinco de Mayo unless you're from that area. And a lot of Americans, of course, think that Cinco de Mayo is Mexican Independence Day. Of course, again, I hit them with the facts. Mexican Independence Day is September 16th, so no. So I kind of feel like comparing Cinco de Mayo as a super important holiday for Mexicans would be like celebrating Juneteenth as a super important holiday for African Americans, you know, ancestors of slaves or whatever, because it's not. And I'm like, I mean, I guess people can, they can do their own thing, and I mean, it is what it is, but I just kind of feel like, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, to be honest. I'm sorry. I was just looking at my paper and different things I talked about. I talked about American holidays and some people not celebrating them. But I think where I was going with the whole thing was, please do not shame people for celebrating their Americanism. If a person is black, Hispanic, Asian, you know, not a non-white person, you know, immigrant, and they want to celebrate the 4th of July, let them. You shouldn't shame somebody for wanting to celebrate independence of the country that they live in. And it's really sad when you have people who are born and raised, you know, natural born Americans who don't want to celebrate a holiday. I understand all the history behind it. Like, I'm not like ignoring the facts, but it's like, you live here. This is your country. It's only like right that you'd want to celebrate the most important holiday in your country's history. But it just really bothers me, obviously. You can't tell by now, it bothers me. But please don't shame Americans. Don't shame anybody for wanting to celebrate Independence Day or any other holiday, you know. But I don't know. It's kind of like when I was reading about my different political analysis on subjects, and when I was doing my research and I was looking at black people and minorities wanting to be conservatives and Republicans. And there's this guy, his name is, I think it's Rob Smith. He's America's favorite gay black Republican or whatever. He's hilarious, check him out. But he was talking about how for him, it was harder to come out as conservative than it was gay. And that's crazy. And it's like, you shouldn't be ashamed of what you believe in. But you know, I was doing research about the black people and the Democrats and how they voted for Democrats forever. Well, not forever, but like the last 50 years or so. And how it's like, if you're a non-white person, you should be a Democrat or a liberal. If you aren't, you hate yourself. You're an Uncle Tom, you're a coon, you're a race traitor. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense, because if your beliefs line up with the party, you know, small government, you know, limited government, personal responsibility, life, liberty, property, pursuit of happiness, I mean, if your views line up with that, you should be a part of that. And if your views line up with liberals, you know, wanting government to help people to have more of an impact and an influence in people's lives, you know, getting them rights and protecting them, then it shouldn't matter what you believe. But I don't know, when I was watching him talk, and he said that he actually lost a lot of friends when he came out as conservative. He said when he came out as gay, nobody left him. Nobody betrayed him. You know, nobody was, oh, you know, I don't want to use any slurs, but, you know, they didn't call him names or anything. But when he came out as conservative, he said basically, like, the gay community excommunicated him, that he would get invited to, like, GLAAD and HRC events. But after they found out he was conservative, disinvited. Never heard from them again. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, aren't they supposed to be the tolerant ones? You know, if you're having celebrations to acknowledge, you know, gay people, you know, transgender in that community, shouldn't you be accepting him? But he said he felt like, you know, going to the, being a Republican, being conservative, that him being gay, of course, is still, not everybody accepts people being gay. And he actually has a husband too, so he's not only gay, he's married. Not everybody accepts that, but he said that a lot of times he doesn't really feel like people are judging him or coming at him crazy, because at the end of the day, the values line up. And he said, you know, me and my husband were both Republicans, and of course we both get looked at like we're crazy when we say that. And I'm like, you should be able to follow whatever party you want. Again, it's part of being an American, part of being free. So I feel like, even in that instance, if you're a minority, it's just, I kind of feel like, this is how I'm going to put it. For years, minorities, you know, including women, for years, you know, we've been fighting for rights. Fighting. When we finally get these rights, then if you utilize the rights you now have, you're a traitor. Like, for instance, the Voting Rights Act of 1964. Ooh, I'm bad. I get voting rights and civil rights mixed up. I think it's 1964. Whatever. Anyway, like, if you fought for, you know, a Black American, you fought for the right to vote without literacy tests and poll taxes, other, you know, barriers. But it's like now, if you're Black and you don't vote Democrat, you're a race traitor, you hate yourself, whatever. But it's like, didn't you get the right to vote? So it's like, I have the right to vote, but I can't vote how I want to vote. I'm expected to vote Democrat because of what the Democrats have done for me, you know, Great Society programs, New Deal, which if you really look into it, it kind of destroyed the Black community. But beside the point, so it's like, I can't think for myself and be a free American. I'm expected to vote Democrat because I'm Black. And I was doing a lot of research, and a lot of Black people, which isn't surprising, a lot of Black people are conservative. A lot of Black people are conservative. If I remember correctly, they're the most, like, religious group in the country. They attend church all the time. You know, have Christian values. They value the family, you know, personal responsibility, you know, having fathers in the house, you know, all these different values. So if you value, you know, value this, why are you voting with a party that, not saying that they don't care about that kind of stuff. I mean, everybody does, I think. But the fact that that's not on the forefront of their platform. I mean, because I know Democrats and Republicans, you know, I know they care about the same stuff. But for Democrats, from what I've seen lately, it's more of inclusion and including other people, fighting for rights of others, for illegal immigrants, for, you know, stuff like that. Like, they're not necessarily focused on the simple principles and values of American society. And the Republicans, from what I've seen, are. So it's like, if your views line up more with Republicans, you're, like, going against your own beliefs to vote Democrat. Now, I'm not telling any Black person that you have to be conservative, you go to church, or you have to vote for Donald Trump. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that if you're a non-white, because usually it's non-white, you join the Republican Party, you hate yourself, race traitor, whatever. If you're non-white and that's what you believe and agree with, vote that way. Now, I know a lot of people are scared to come out as conservatives and Republicans in the era of Trump, and I totally understand that. So it's like, if I remember correctly, like, before Trump, you know, during Romney and McCain, you know, the recent presidential candidates, Republicans, I don't remember people freaking out about if you were Black and you came out as a conservative or a Republican. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't remember. If if it happened, it wasn't in your face like it is now. But I do not remember that happening. You know, I came across Black conservatives, I came across Black liberals, and nobody felt like some type of way about that. But I kind of feel like with Donald Trump and the way people feel about him, you say you're a Black conservative, Black Republican, they automatically associate with being a race traitor because you voted for Donald Trump because you're a Republican. Now, that might not necessarily be true. There are Republicans that didn't vote for Donald Trump. There are people that voted for Donald Trump that weren't Republicans. But, and also I feel like if you agree with Donald Trump and your views line up with him, I mean, it's kind of hard to say be proud when you have society against you from being proud. Like when I was watching some of those videos, there were different black student groups that were Republican student groups. And they were saying how they're kind of ostracized on campus because it's a group of Black Republicans. And they were so excited to find each other because they were closeted, quote unquote, from expressing their true political ideology. And I'm like, that's really messed up that we can't even utilize the freedoms that we have as Americans. The right to vote, first of all. And then the Civil Rights Act, you know, protecting even more of those rights to vote. So it's like, we have these freedoms and these rights, and if we don't vote or act a certain way, you're looked at in a negative light. So I kind of feel like, isn't the focus like skewed? So it's like, we have these rights, everybody has these rights, these freedoms now, but if you're not on the side that you're expected to be on, you're viewed as negatively. And I don't get it. I mean, I don't know. And I haven't really talked to any, because again, most of the time I talk to teenagers about the political stuff. So it would be more adults that I would have to get those answers from, because, you know, they're adults, they voted, you know, they know people, they're, you know, grown up or whatever. But I just kind of feel like that doesn't make any sense. But I mean, I don't know. I just think it's unfair to anybody. I don't care what color you are, what religion you are, what ethnicity. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just feel like you should go with what you believe. But I know it's easier said than done. I totally understand that. But I still feel like that. But I guess, I mean, there are some people that I met, adults-wise, that I met, and they were, they voted for Trump, and they were afraid to say it because of the backlash they would get. They would be called a racist, a race traitor, a coon, an Uncle Tom, or whatever other negative slur you can think of. Because one of the schools I worked at, there was a teacher. She was an older white woman, and she voted for Trump. And she was terrified that people would find out she voted for Trump. Because there was I think I talked about it in one of the podcasts, a girl voted for Trump, and she was harassed and bullied, all that kind of stuff. But with the woman, I was like, well, I'm a political scientist by trade, you know, hey, let's talk. And I told her, I said, you know, let's talk. And she was so excited that somebody was willing and open to talk to her about Trump. And I loved the conversation. I mean, it was really awesome. And you know, she would kind of whisper it, and I'm like, who cares? And she's like, well, the kids will care. I'm like, so? But no, I got where she was coming from. So she talks about voting for Trump, you know, and of course the kids would ask her, and they're like, oh, you're an old white lady, you probably voted for Trump. And of course she'd play it off like, well, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. And you know, she's like, she was terrified to let those kids know that she voted for Trump. And I'm like, that's really sad. I mean, if people want to say like the comments and the stuff that he said, like the actions, I mean, everybody is human. We're all flawed. We all say stuff, do weird stuff. Like, we're not perfect. And I feel like there's some people that can get past the stuff that he said and done, the controversies, the tweets. People can get past that because they feel like, you know, the way he passes executive orders or the laws he signed, the different bills he signed, like the political action on his part, they feel like they can get past the foolishness with the things he says and the tweets he sends out because of what he's doing politically. And one of the videos I watched, this kid was talking about F Trump, you know, middle finger up, and they were asking him, you know, well, what's wrong with Trump? You know, he couldn't give them, he's like, oh, it's a million things wrong with him. Well, what's the reason? Oh, I shouldn't have to tell you a reason, you know? Like, he basically couldn't give a reason why he didn't support Trump. And the people were trying to explain to them, they were Black Trump supporters, and he was a young Black man as well. And And they were trying to explain to him, you know, this is some of the stuff Trump's done. So what can you tell me that you disagree with him? Like, is there something you disagree? Like, I'll see, you know, we can have a conversation, hash it out. And one of the guys, he was actually in prison, and he said that criminal justice reform bill actually freed him. Trump signing that bill, he was able to get out of prison and able to get his life together and get a job. So he's like, I'm grateful for Trump for doing that for me, you know. And so the young man, I don't know how old he was, like, I don't know. But so he kept saying, you know, oh, well, I don't like him, I don't support him. And so the stuff that they were saying to him, he's like, well, did that really happen? And he's like, yes, I'm standing right here in front of you. I'm standing right in here in front of you. It happened. And then the people just look it up, dude. You have a phone, look it up. And so then he kind of changed his rhetoric a little bit, you know. And then he was like, well, if I don't see it, if I don't. So he's finding it on his phone, and they're Googling it, showing him on his phone. You know, they're doing the whole phone thing. And he's like, well, if I see a video, then I'll believe it. And they're like, dude, are you serious? And then he's like, okay, well, I feel like he should have, he should put positive vibes out there. And they're like, what? So it kind of seemed like, and they're kind of saying to him, it kind of seems like you don't have a personal reason for not liking or not supporting the president. It's just kind of what the media has told you. And the people said to him, if you had a valid reason, if you could name one thing that you didn't like about Trump or what he's done, we would leave you alone. Because we'd be like, okay, this is a legit reason, you know, he doesn't support Trump because XYZ. But the fact that he couldn't give them a reason, they're like, so if you can't think of a reason, why don't you support him? And well, the stuff he said and done, and they're like, who hasn't said and done anything weird? And he's like, well, and it was funny, but it was sad. It was really sad, the exchange, you know, and I kind of felt like, if I had been his teacher, if I had been his government teacher, I would have educated him on the political ideologies and, you know, the different things that are going on. So that way he'd be able to say, I disagree with Trump because X, Y, and Z, like have a legit reason, because I would have taught him, you know, I would have taught him the issues. I did that a lot. I taught the kids the different political issues. I always did it in a non-biased way. Nobody knew what party I was. Nobody knew what I supported. Nobody knew anything about me. Because I wanted to make sure they had both sides of the argument. They had an issue, they could research, figure out both sides of it, and then decide what they believe based on what they believe, not what they were supposed to believe. And I had a lot of kids that they were surprised that they agreed with Trump, and they were just like, I'm gonna die. Like, I can't believe, I'm just about to pass out right now. I can't believe it. And I'm like, well, why? Like, why am I not supposed to like Trump because I'm black or because I'm Mexican? And I'm like, well, if you agree with the stuff that he's, you know, it's like a little test or whatever. If you agreed with the stuff that he said and did, then, you know, I just, and it's really sad though. But I mean, that's how we're raising our kids. That's how we're raising society up for the next generation. So it's like, we have people, it's kind of funny. Like, you have people who, you know, I don't mean to pick on Democrats, but because of the whole like LGBTQ thing is fresh in my mind. I saw some videos on it, how they are so focused on individuality, freedom, accepting yourself, you know, who you are, if you're gay, if you're transgender, a lesbian, like embrace who you are. But when it comes to politics, I'm seeing the complete opposite, especially like with Rob Smith, the politics of it. So it's like, it's kind of like embrace who you are as long as we like who you are. I don't know. And I just feel like it's getting worse for this generation, for Gen Z. So when they get older and they're running stuff, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And I feel like, where does it start? How can we just kind of like clean the slate? How do we get to the point where we're united again as Americans? And I don't think that that's impossible. I mean, maybe it's a utopian ideology, I don't know, but I really hope it's not, that it's not impossible. But I feel like, where does it start? I kind of feel like the media would be where it starts, because social media, the news, your TV, like newspaper, people still read newspapers. I know old people do. But anyway, so all the media in your face is saying all these divisive things and showing you all these negative things. So I kind of feel like maybe the media is the first place to start when it comes to unifying Americans rather than focusing on differences. And then maybe if the media does it, because that's where a lot of people are influenced, if the media does it, then it'll kind of trickle down and we'll get to the point where, okay, yeah, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're black, you're white, but we're all Americans. So, again, I keep going back to the 9/11 thing. I really couldn't believe it. It was just beautiful. I mean, it's like, and it's, I'm trying to remember how long that the whole patriotism, American flag waving, I don't know how long it went on, but it was long enough to where I was like, wow, this is awesome. You know, but it was kind of sad that a really traumatic, terrible event had to happen for us to be proud to be American. And a lot of people joined the military. I mean, it was crazy. Of course, my dad was already in, and he was like, yeah, we had a lot of young guys come and sign up and want to join. And it was just awesome to see that patriotism. And then, of course, you know, as the years went by, now it's like you got people on camera, they hate America. Like, what? I don't know. If you have any idea or any suggestions or solutions or just some thoughts that you think, it's not even about if I would like it or not. I don't really care if I like it or not. Just something that I could possibly use in a paper or an idea that I could expand upon or read or something. Because I really like having answers. Being a political scientist and a teacher, of course, I like having the answers. So it really sucks when I don't have the answers. I don't have a solution. I have no idea of where to start. So if anybody listening, you know, has something to say, you know, that'd be great, because I just kind of feel stuck, and it really sucks, because I don't know. I like helping people. I like fixing things. I like having the answers, giving advice, you know, stuff like that. So it's like when it comes to this whole political situation in the country today, I mean, it's like we're mistreating people because we don't agree with what they believe. So instead of accepting, you know, the freedom and their right as an American to do so, we're shaming Black people for celebrating 4th of July. You know, we're shaming Hispanic immigrants who want to speak English. It's just ridiculous. And it's like, these were the things that, you know, brought us together. That's what made us Americans. So now I kind of feel like, if anybody has an answer to this question, that would be great too. Let me know. But when you think about what it means to be an American, almost everybody has a personal answer, which, okay, you know, that's fine. But think about it this way. What does it mean to be an American in the sense that it's something that unites all of us? And that's what I can't come up with at this point. 2020, I have no idea. I mean, I could talk about back, you know, in the 90s, early 2000s, you know, back 20, 30 years ago, but I don't have an answer for that now. So I would love to hear, if anybody has an answer to that question, what is something that unites us all as Americans? Or what's something you think could unite us? You know, I mean, obviously patriotism is out the window. I mean, when it comes to traditional American values, that's out the window. I mean, I don't know. It's discouraging to not have an answer to that question. I mean, nobody's asked me that question, thankfully, because I wouldn't have an answer. I mean, I could say what it means to me to be an American, but again, it's different for everybody. So, but one thing I have noticed from talking to different immigrants, again, my students, a lot of them are immigrants, and they would talk about how, as an immigrant, what mattered to them. I don't want to say all of them, but a lot of them, they said that what mattered to them, what made them feel American, was freedom, was to have the freedom to go to school and not have to pay. You know, that maybe my parents had to drop out in sixth grade because their family didn't have money to go to school. So the freedom to go to school here in the United States, you know, the freedom to live wherever we want, the freedom to wear what we want, to work, just the freedom in general is something that united all of them. But that's because where they came from, they didn't necessarily have those freedoms. So native-born Americans, I mean, I guess we could say freedom, but freedom wouldn't unite us because we already have it. It's not something that we haven't had and we just now got it because we just came here. So it's like, I really don't know what would be something to unite all Americans. I mean, I don't know. I really don't. Well, oh my gosh, I've been talking for an hour and 18 minutes. So again, I really don't know if anybody listens to me. I kind of see sometimes I have like two or three views on my podcast. That means people are at least clicking on them. I don't know if they're listening or not. And I mean, it's fine. I know as a podcaster, you know, you have to get your base going and all that kind of stuff before people actually listen to you. I don't know how to do that, first of all, because I'm new at this. But I mean, if you guys really are listening, just an I'm listening would be great. I don't mean to sound like conceited, like, let me know if you're listening to me, but I mean, if you don't, that's fine. I'll keep talking to myself. I mean, it's totally fine, but I would like to hear feedback from you guys. If you are listening to me, that would be great. I would love to hear feedback. I would love to hear if you had answers to some of the questions I've asked, or hypotheticals, or if you want to do, I think you can actually do a podcast with somebody, like, not in person, you know, like, on the app or something, I think, like, if you want to be a part of that, I mean, just anything, that would be great. I would love it. Okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and I will sign off, and I will see you next time.